live like this. This is horrible. And the intensity was just, I just wanted to crawl in a hole somewhere.
And he kept saying it could go on for a long, I was geared up for it to go on for a long time. Me, I don't even think I fully got there, but you, I knew, I was so deep with you. I'd never seen you like that, so I didn't know, but I'm
for me, I think that was a flipping long time.
Yeah,
I know. Was still in that
for
2 months.
You were consistently for 2 months. Well, wait, mostly consistently, but enough. So you and I are talking about why the formula works and doesn't work. And your question to me is, why can't I pull out? Why a lot of us are not able to pull out of the spiral? And we're exploring that together right now.
I just, see, I visualize each of you when I am listening to you, and I visualize what you've been experiencing, and what you look like, and what you're doing, and what you're feeling, and whatever, and even like you said, you know, it threw you back into these memories, and I can relate to that because I have times where something will throw me back into some god-awful memory from the past. The difference is that whenever I get thrown into one of those horrible memories from the past, and God knows I have enough of them,
mm-hmm.
I immediately, I mean, it's like my whole world goes dark, and I feel like I'm in this dark tunnel, and it's really creepy, and it just makes my skin crawl, and I very fast, I'm talking really fast, within a minute, I'm telling myself, oh, hell no, mm-hmm. I'm not going here.
Right.
Nope. I refuse to think about this. And it's not a piece of, like, denial or something. Everything that happened, happened. I don't need to rehash it. I've rehashed it till I'm sick to my stomach. I don't need to keep doing that.
That's
now.
The secret, I think.
And so I just immediately start thinking, no, 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 I will not think about this. I'm not going to think about this. And I make myself, I mean, sometimes it's a little challenging, but I make myself move my attention. Even if I have to do something, if I have to get up and walk into another room and actually do something to make that thinking stop, I will. If I have to, like, walk outside and get in the car, I will. A lot of times now, because I've practiced it for so long, I don't have to go to that kind of extreme, although sometimes I do, but not usually. Usually now I can just, like, say no, 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 and stop and make myself think about something else. I mean, regardless of how ridiculous it is, I will just make myself think about something that's either neutral or something that's, I won't even say happy, something ridiculous.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
We use your imagination, like, and
yes,
get it.
Like giant frogs or something. I mean, I will literally make myself think of anything else except for what I'm thinking about. And it doesn't matter to me what it is. It could be anything. as long as it's something else. And as soon as I think about something else, it's not like that other thought completely disappears. It doesn't. It's kind of hanging over on the side. But as soon as I've got a different thought, it's way easier to push that thought away and go, yeah, you are so not important and I'm not thinking about you. And then I don't hold on to the initial thought, because whatever the initial thought is, usually something ridiculous. It's just something to get me away from the original thought. But once I've done that, then I make myself think about something I have to do today or something that I want to do or something that's on my agenda. It could be a flipping grocery list.
Right.
What was it that I needed at Walmart?
Right.
You know, I can make myself think about something practical. And that pushes the other thought all the way away.
Yes, I actually experience that. I understand that. I actually thought I was implementing that until Saturday. And I used what you're saying to pull out in this last week, but it took a week. It wasn't instant. I don't feel it now. So to me, I wasted a lot of time letting it spin.
So what are you doing when you're letting it spin?
Well, the feeling is there, and I'm thinking of all these, I'm comparing, I'm falling short.
So you're going deeper into the feeling.
Yes, and the things that it evokes, and the flashes, and the disconnect, and that people are, my vulnerability in front of people, that I'm not perfect. All this shit that I honestly, Mary, I don't go here. Okay. Like I said, I'm pretty neutral right now, but I didn't like that experience at all. And I am more than willing to listen to you and Elias and do the formula and re-engage the steps. I don't know what else to say. The spiral is like a sore tooth.
You know what it makes me think of?
What?
It makes me think of, like, addict behavior.
Addict behavior, yes.
It makes me think of an alcoholic or whatever. I don't know about drug addicts. I imagine it's the same. But it makes me think of, okay, this is what happens, like, with an alcoholic. You start drinking and then you can't stop.
Right.
And then you get to a point where you don't care if you stop. You don't want to. And so all the things that would tell you to stop, you don't care about them anymore. You don't pay attention
right.
to them, because all you care about is continuing to do what you're doing. And the interesting piece for me about that kind of behavior, whether it involves a substance or not, is that it's not necessarily that the person likes the feeling or wants the feeling. Because even with a substance, you get to a point where you don't feel good.
Right.
You aren't. You're not even feeling buzzed like you initially feel. You just feel shitty. But there's something in that. There's something about that kind of feeling. Not the feeling itself. Not the shitty. But there's something about that kind of feeling that people are attracted to, that they hang on to for some reason, which I'm not entirely sure why.
And saying it's familiar is not enough for me.
No, it's something about the intensity of it. Maybe. Okay, wait. I shouldn't say I don't know why entirely, because I think I do have a piece of it. I think that a piece of it is that for most people that experience that and go through that, whether it's a substance or something else,
mm-hmm.
What I have kind of deduced from observation of myself mm-hmm. and of other people is that I think that we go for long stretches of time not expressing, I don't know how else to say it, normal feelings or usual feelings. Right. We go through long stretches of time where we are ignoring all of that, and so we're just doing what we do and being on and being, and even if we're not being on, we're being neutral.
And as normal as we can try to possibly be, which is
right.
an act.
Right. But when we're doing it, we're not thinking that it's an act.
No.
We're thinking that we're being our normal self. And I think what happens is that when, just like with an alcoholic, why do they keep drinking until they are miserable and until there's no happy feeling at all anymore and it's crummy and it's yucky and they keep doing it? I'm not talking keep doing it day by day. I'm talking about in a day that they keep drinking until they pass out or whatever, or until they practically pass out. When they've already had several hours where they feel like shit and right. they are not happy. And why do they keep feeding that? And I think part of it, I don't know if it's all of it, but I think part of it is because there is that intensity that you are feeling intense. And it's almost like all those feelings that you haven't let yourself feel all this rest of this time, they all have a way to come out now. And so you keep letting it come out. And you just keep being in that. And even though you think you want it to stop, and I think that probably almost everybody thinks they want it to stop, even though you think you want it to stop, there's some piece that doesn't really, doesn't think it's comfortable, doesn't like it, but doesn't really want it to stop either.
Why?
I think it's because of that intensity. I think it's like we get attracted, and it's so hard to use these words because they bring up wrong connotations.
Wrong, right.
But I think we get attracted to the intensity of those feelings and that period of time. And I think what attracts us to it is that it's the only time we let ourselves blah it all out.
Fully express it.
Right. And to dump it and to like volcano and erupt and then be done with it. It's like vomiting.
Right.
And then, you know, laying on the bathroom floor panting and going, oh God, finally. You know, but it's that kind of intensity. It is like vomiting. It's like being nauseous for a month and, oh God, finally just puking. Right. And then you're done. And then, but the problem is then we start all over again and we start doing that neutral thing immediately.
So, this is where paying attention to the formula comes in as an important step.
Right.
Because I...
Well, that's why I was asking the question, because I do see these pieces, and I've seen these pieces in myself, and I know that when I do this, it works.
Right.
I might have to do it a few times, depending on how intense something is.
Right.
But it's still, if right. I do it, it does work. And I haven't quite been able to figure out what the glitch is, why it isn't working for a lot of people. But now I think, in part, I just answered my own question, because it's like, just like an alcoholic. Once you start, then you just keep
Can't
going.
Stop.
Because your body doesn't want to stop. Not
right.
that your thinking doesn't want to stop, you do, but your body doesn't want to stop because it wants to get rid of all that shit.
Right.
And it can't because you won't let it any other time.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, it takes, actually though, when I think about it, if it takes you a week to get through that, that seems to me to be a really fast amount of time. If you think about it, like with somebody like me or whatever, as an alcoholic, drinking for 10 or 15 years, being in that for 10 or 15 years, that's like doing the same thing only for that many years
right.
instead of a week.
Well, I think what I'm appreciating from this is that last time I talked to Elias, and I'll talk to him for like 15 minutes when we're done here, but
can I have a smoke?
We're going to stop now so Mary can have a smoke. And I'm record. I'm. Don't you think I should release this, you guys? I know. It's fucking awesome.
From 10
yes.
years ago, from whatever.
Right.
Okay.
I'm talking about past experiences, correct?
Because that's what's flooding up. When you're drinking, that's what's flooding up.
Really?
All
the
those
time.
Past experiences.
Really, Mary? I never knew that.
Constant flood of all those past experiences from 20 years ago, from 30 years ago, from 40 years ago, from 10 years ago, all of it. It's constantly flooding up, flooding up, flooding up. And that is what keeps the person continuing to drink all day long. Because the more they drink, the more intense that yuck feeling
yeah,
gets.
Yeah, but I didn't know you were triggering 24/7. I had no idea.
Constant.
Oh, my God.
Constant. So you're like doing all of this flooding, and while you're doing all this flooding, this is, I think, why people's behavior gets so whacked, because they're like vomiting constantly emotionally. They're like throwing all this shit out, so they've got, you know, 20 years of shit that's stored up inside of them, and then they're taking 20 years to drink and throw it all out, and they keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. Right. But I think that it's not okay, the time doesn't have to match. I think the reason that they keep doing it and doing it and doing it is because all that shit from the past that's constantly coming up, you're flipping judging yourself
for constantly.
That you're bad, that you're not good enough, that you're
I'm not pure enough, people pity me, whatever, all of it.
That you're everything bad.
Right.
Constantly, totally, you're nothing but bad. And so, on top of the throwing it off, or trying to throw it off, then you're also adding into the whole thing. It's like you throw that out and you pour in guilt, guilt, guilt. Pour out the bad experience. Pour in guilt, guilt, guilt.
And shame, I'm damaged.
Yeah.
Shame equals damaged. That did clear light me last week. I went, oh my God, I think I'm damaged. Yeah. I always think I'm damaged, no matter what. Oh.
Because how can you not be?
Right.
Because you have to be broken.
Right.
Because you couldn't survive all of this and not be broken.
Or vice, or the flip side, how broken could I be if I've survived all this and now I'm moving forward? Hello? Yeah. Hello?
Delusional.
Delusional.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think that that's what the circle is. And I think that that may be the piece why people aren't like doing it, doing the step thing over and over and over again until they finally get to that point where they're like, I don't care anymore. I think that's why, because they're still in that addict behavior.
No, that's why I didn't continue. I could have gone outside four more times during that session. I'm not going to say shoulda, because I didn't and it's done, but I have only been doing like going out and counting clouds twice a day.
To come back in and be normal.
Right. And what if it doesn't work is where I go. And it, instantly, that does.
Well, and you're already dealing with, you're already feeling embarrassment.
Yes.
And you're already feeling
exposure.
Exposed. Yeah. And you're already feeling that you did something wrong.
Right.
So the automatic thing is to fix it by doing something right, by coming back in, sitting there, being stoic and listening and participating, and that this doesn't bother you. And God forbid, no, you don't get up and go again.
No, I would distract every, I don't want to distract Elias or the group. I should have gotten up 10 fucking more times. Or
and
five, whatever.
That's the whole thing. Eventually, when you actually do it four or five times, that piece of, I don't want to distract the group,
goes bye-bye.
Starts to go, I don't care.
Right.
I don't want to feel this.
Right.
I don't care if it distracts.
Or what anybody thinks.
Right. You start to go in the direction of, which stops the embarrassment, because that's all about what everybody else thinks.
Right.
So it's like you get to a point where that repetition of continuing to interrupt it over and over and over again, even though it's a pain in the butt, it does work, because by that fourth or fifth time, it isn't even about your thinking anymore. Your body starts to do something different. It starts to almost deflate because your body is going in the direction of, I can't keep this up. Yes. I don't care. Because it's like you're shocking yourself back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yes.
So your body is like, oh, screw this. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't keep going back and forth in these extremes in this fast.
Right.
I don't even have time to adjust. So screw it. I don't care anymore. And then once your body does that weird shift thing, then your thinking catches up with your body and your thinking starts to, I guess,
register that.
Well, I guess it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's translating. And it starts to go in the direction of, oh, we don't care about this anymore.
No, and we're free of it because we don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just going to stop this for a second and, oh my God, you guys. Okay. Mary says she so wishes there was a way she could tell people.
No matter how much you're, like, telling yourself this doesn't work, to keep doing it.
Right.
I don't mean keep doing it over days. I mean keep doing it in that little short period of time, in the moment when you're like, the third time you're doing it, you're saying, this isn't working, and give up, and then go back into that feeling and get sucked into that spiral again. If they keep doing it, you know, every 2-3 minutes, think about it. If you were to do that 6 times, let's say, that might take you, let's just stretch it out and say that it takes you an hour.
Right.
It wouldn't, but...
No, I know.
But...
Even if it took an hour.
But even if it took an hour for you to do that, and you did it 6 times, isn't an hour way better than a week?
Oh, God, yes. Or in years back, wouldn't an hour be better than months and months... And months, or 15 years for me. Similar.
Yeah.
I hear you. Wow, Mayor. Like I told Jean a couple of days ago, you saved me. Oh, my God. There's hope in the valley of Baca here. Okay, so, yeah, we're going to have to record this, release this and transcribe it. Okay, I'm just going to talk to Elias for a very short amount of time here, if that's okay with you. Done. Go away. All right. Thanks, Mary.
Sure.
Mary? Okay, fine.
All right.
See thank you.
Later.
You. Okay.
Good morning.
Did you just hear that?
Are you generating faces?
Yes, I am. Happy, smiley
faces.
I'm making faces. I was going to sing a song, but it went right out of my head. That I can sing a song is... Did you just hear the conversation? Well, let me just say, if you heard the conversation I just had with Mary, we're going to record it and get it out there because Mary was trying to figure out why we, so many people like me that she talks to, spiral and can't pull out. And she likened it after, you know, she peeled back some pieces and we stepped through some steps. And she talked at first about how doing the formula at least 5 times if you need to is what starts to turn your body consciousness and your thinking begins to translate that. But if you only do it a couple of times, like guilty because, you know, it didn't work. And the spiral's too strong. And this is too familiar.
And, you know, anyway, and the more intense the spiral, the less able one can be to do it. Me, for example. Anyway, she likened it to an addict behavior. That the intensity of the feeling is like an addict. You hate how it feels, but you keep doing it. And Elias is shaking his head. And then she was quite candid about her own experiences and in relation to alcohol, for example. But she sees how it equates to fear and the intensity of that. So that's really good information. And look, no flinch. Hoo-hoo. Anyway, which was fascinating to me rather than depressing.
Congratulations.
I deserve a congratulations. That last... Okay, being naked in front of strangers Saturday was not fun. I went outside. It wasn't enough. Mary and I talked about it. I should have gone out 5 more times, but God forbid I should disturb you. I was already having a problem connecting with you. I didn't want to, like, you know, not that you would jump out of your skin and be mad at me, but you could have, but you wouldn't have. You probably would have been, go girl, that's what I'm talking about. Right.
Precisely.
Yeah, well, there's not going to be a next time, but if there is, I'm going to go outside and keep coming back and forth and disturb the shit out of everybody. I don't care.
And you wouldn't.
And I wouldn't, because it would be a real genuine expression of me knowing, doing something about this.
Implementing
the tool.
Yes. Yes. And it wouldn't disrupt.
And it wouldn't have disrupted.
No. I would continue to engage the group, and the group would continue to engage myself.
Right. And the worrying about what people think would become moot. Oh, I live for that day. Well, I'm actually having that day right this moment, actually, but... and it feels really good. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, so...
Let me also express to you, merely as an additional piece of information that you can... hold in the background and refer to occasionally. When we engaged our secret session many years ago, in your terminology, some of the individuals did not participate in the second part of the secret session because they felt precisely what you expressed, naked and exposed. Now, those that did participate also felt naked and exposed. But what they learned in that session was the reason you feel naked and exposed is because you are afraid of what other individuals' perceptions are.
Exactly.
And what they think of you.
Yes.
What they actually think of you is generally the opposite of what you think they perceive of you. Just as with our secret session, each individual that offered their deepest secret at the time, what they were most afraid of sharing and most afraid of being judged by, every other individual in the group felt compassion and acknowledged each individual for their bravery of allowing themselves to participate and actually didn't perceive that whatever their deepest secret was tremendously bad.
Oh my God.
They all perceived each other's deepest secret as being not that terrible. They each perceived their own secret as being much more terrible than everyone else's. But all of them perceived that the other individual's secrets, regardless of what they were not that terrible. That was a tremendously excellent example because it is very true.
Oh my God.
What other individuals' perceptions are generally is nothing as to what you perceive they think. That you leaving, the group's perception of that was an example to them to follow. That you were actually implementing in the moment, and that was inspiring to them. That you would actually stand up and leave the room while I was continuing to speak. That was a display of actually implementing the information, and that was inspiring to them. Had you done that more than once, they would not have been interrupted, disrupted, or annoyed. That would have been a reinforcement to them of implementing precisely what we were discussing. And in that, I would venture to say that most of them would have been proud of you. Not discounting.
Wow. Well, since that's never gonna fucking happen again, ever, I'm gonna try to do that in a different, thank you. This is definitely something to hold in my heart.
Yes. That whatever you imagine, whatever you think,
the other person thinks is not
true. Is generally not what is occurring. That is the reason that taking out the personal piece is so important.
Now that makes more sense to me, saying it that way. I had no place to go.
Because it isn't personal. It's only in your perception.
Right.
Yes, your head.
So, oh God, not personalizing myself.
Yes.
I don't even need another person to personalize myself, almost. It's all me.
Yes.
Not in a bad way. Like Bill Marshall said yesterday, and it clicked in my head, it's me, not you.
Yes.
Now, the difference, Elias, I'm just going to bring this up because I thought about that last week, one little aside. When I was in the church, we all used to walk around and go, it's not me, it's Satan. That's counterproductive. But in a sense, saying it's not me, it's Satan, gave me a momentary peace that the bad guy I was thinking about is not me. It's still true. The bad guy I'm thinking about is not me.
Correct.
All right, well.
That is the personal piece.
Personalizing. So, you know how some people use their body illnesses to give themselves information and get it their own attention? Pretty sure that's what I've done with fear my whole life. And I'm going to take you up on your idea from our past couple of sessions that this phase I'm in right now is a final step out of the church.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you. Wow. I really like you. I'm not mad at you anymore. He wasn't mad at you. He was mad at me. Can I ask you a couple of fun questions? No, I never thought I'd ask you a fun question again. Anyway, what's my genuine gift?
Your genuine gift. Your genuine gift is invitation.
I invite people. I knew it was something like that. I couldn't quite get a handle. I thought it was relating in some way, but it's...
But that is.
Yeah.
Or connecting, but yes.
Invitation. Oh. And here's another one for you, me. Invitation. Connection. All right, this is going to sound weird. It even sounds weird to me, but I think I'm an introvert, even though I express many times like an extrovert. Is that correct? I don't think I'm an extrovert.
No, but I would not express
not a full...
that you are an introvert either.
Is there something in the middle?
Yes.
Me.
Yes.
Thanks. All right.
And many individuals.
And many individuals are in the middle.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to bring up my humpback whale focus. And then we're going to call it a day, and I'm going to get on with my life. And, yeah. Thanks. Ooh, I really like you so much. I know you like me, too. Thank God. All right. I think my whale focus, my humpback whale focus, is still in San Francisco Bay, or I don't know what they're migrating thing, but she comes back to San Francisco Bay. She's not dead, right? And she's a she.
Yes.
Okay, here's a weird one. I think she has a life partner. I think it's Vinu.
Yes.
Oh my God. Vinu and I are life partners in another focus as fish. Oh my God.
Not fish.
Not fish? Kidding. Just come on. Don't get so sumafi on me. Okay, yeah. So Vinu and I have humpback whale focuses and we're still there. And I also think I have a pink dolphin focus in a southern ocean somewhere.
Yes.
I think I have a lot of dolphin focuses.
Yes.
Because ether. They're mischievous and playful. And I like that about them. I mean, when I get to be mischievous and playful, I think it's them lending me energy. I should probably let them in more. I realize that, but I have a lot of dolphin focuses.
Yes.
Okay. Well, invitation. Me and Vinu together at last. All right. I just want to thank me for bringing myself to this meeting.
Excellent.
I should talk about all these things, but really, I think it's all fine. Even Harold. Harold is following me. This will be my last thing now. I'm paying attention to Harold, because Harold's paying attention to me more than he ever has in his little life. Wherever I go, there's Harold sitting there. I pick him up, I hold him. He used to never let me hold him. Okay. I'm not saying Harold's going to die tomorrow, but I think, he may live another whatever, but I feel like he's transitioning. And I'm not going to be afraid of that. And I'm not going to, I just feel like he's transitioning. And I want to be with him as much as I can. And he wants to be with me as much as he can because he knows I'm worried about him. So I'm probably right on about that, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'll deal like I have to deal. But thank you for telling me that. He's not suffering, is he?
No.
He's pretty good. He's eating and he's purring and he's eating a lot of food. I'm letting him eat whenever and whatever he wants. And I'm hugging him and kissing him a lot. And okay. Thank you for telling me that. That's fine. Death is but the next great adventure, Dumbledore said. All right. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
I love you very much.
And I you also.
Thank you.
And I shall be anticipating our next meeting.
Me too.
A great friendship and a tremendous acknowledgement of what you are accomplishing.
Yes. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, my friend.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Yep, I'm an addict. Okay, stop it. I am not an addict. Stop it. Wait, let me just stop the...